Okay, I want to spend a good portion of the rest of the shiur, if not the whole shiur, on this idea of Hakaras HaTov. And we have covered many of these points at different times and different drushes or whatever. But drushes, people catch, you know, between drimmels. And besides that, even the people who are awake during drushes, right, which I don't know how awake I would be if I was on the other side of the shtender, to tell you the truth, Friday night. And I have tried it, being in other places, having to listen to other rabbis give drushes. Usually they give them, though, Shabbos morning in America. And usually I'm only in places to listen to other people, not in Eretz Yisrael. But Friday night, if a Rav gets up to... I usually, my eyes close but within about 3 seconds of when he starts. So I can appreciate that it's very difficult to keep your eyes open Friday night. So a lot of these points were in Friday night drushes, so I'm not sure how much people caught of them in their waking hours. Beyond that, you can't take notes on Friday night, so most of the time, by the time you get home, right, and somebody says, what did the rabbi speak about? It's like a kid you ask, came up from school, what'd you learn today? Nothing. The rabbi spoke. I know he said something. It had to do something with the parsha, or at least with the chumash, or with something like that. Something to do with Judaism, I think. In any case, I thought we'd take the opportunity to, even though many of these things are review, to go through them in a way that is all together, and hopefully more people are awake, and if you want, you can take notes. And there are recorders. Okay. The Inyan of Hakaras HaTov, which is what the Mesil Shisharim was talking about. The Inyan of Hakaras HaTov is an extremely important thing. More than we would think. It's a nice thing to have gratitude, to be people who are grateful and not ungrateful people. But the importance that Chazal give to it seems to be out of proportion. For instance, Chazal say, Kol hakofe betovaso shel boso v'dom, sofo lichbor b'hakadosh baruch hu. Anyone who is ungrateful to human beings eventually will deny the Rabban Shem. Not sofo kofe betovaso shel hakadosh baruch hu. In the end, he won't be grateful to God either. That I would understand more, but it says sofo lichbor b'hakadosh baruch hu. In the end, he will deny God. Where do we learn it from? Paro. In the beginning of Shmos, it says vayokem melech chagash al mitzrayim asher lo yodes Yosef. He was ungrateful to Yosef. He made himself as if he didn't know what Yosef did for Mitzrayim, and in the end, he said mi Hashem asher esh mabekolo. He denied God. So there's a connection between being ungrateful to human beings and denying God, which seems to be a little exaggerated, right? People, there are a lot of ungrateful people in this world, and they are from people, believers, lechara, right? Here it says that from being ungrateful to people, you come to be an atheist. Secondly, it says by Amalek, when it describes Amalek, it says Kfuye Tova, Bnei Kfuye Tova. Amalek were ungrateful people, the descendants of ungrateful people. Now, you want to call Amalek, you know, a bad name, they're really, really bad people. I mean, there's a mitzvah to annihilate them. Men, women, and children, they must be pretty bad. So you don't go to, you know, Al Capone or, you know, some real bad guy and say, you're ungrateful. Right, you really, there's a lot worse things you can throw at people like that. So for the Medrash to say the essence of Amalek is that they're kfuye tova, they are ungrateful people, means that with all the other things they are, cruel and who knows what, Amalek, total atheist, whatever Amalek is, the worst thing you can say about them is a kfuye tova, that they're ungrateful, which also seems to be exaggerated. In addition, Hakaras HaTov is the foundation of all Avodas Hashem. all Avodas Hashem starts with Hakaras HaTov, starts with being a grateful person. If you're not grateful, you're not going to really be an Oved Hashem, which we'll discuss why. And in addition, the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, called Amar B'Lesapir, one of the ideas that the Rishonim say of why there's a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, right, once a year, is Hakaras HaTov, to recognize the basic good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, took us out of Mitzrayim. Had He taken us out of Mitzrayim, we'd be nothing. We'd have anything. This was the foundation. So Amar B'Lesapir, speaking about it more and more and more, is not because of emunah, it's not because of bitah, it's because of simply be grateful. Recognize, be grateful. So what is the idea? So the idea basically is, the only way we can recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam is by recognizing the good He does in the world. That's the bracha HaTov VeHameitiv. God is the ultimate good. How do we know that? Because He's native. He does good things. So we recognize God. In fact, God is good. Just missing one O, right? But God's essence is good. He is HaTov. And that goodness, we can't recognize directly. Can't know God directly, intrinsically. But we can see the Ribbono Shel Olam through what He does. So if you are not Makir Tova in this world, then it's impossible to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you're going to be a kofer, ultimately, if you can't recognize good. Which brings us to the first understanding of being Hakaras HaTov does not mean to be grateful. Gratitude is a second level. The first level is what it says, Hakaras HaTov, recognizing good. Just recognizing that there's good in the world. Because if you don't recognize any good, how are you going to ever recognize the source of the good, who's the Ribbono Shel Olam? So you have to first recognize good. And therefore, Kafiyas HaTov does not mean to be ungrateful. It means to cover up the good and not see it. Not to recognize, take it for granted. Don't recognize that there's any benefit that you're getting, no good, it's just expected. It's coming to me. Right? Magiali. Right? And therefore Magiali is not good. It's expected. So the first level is recognize the good, don't cover it over. Kofeh, the word kefiya, right, means if you have it says if you have chametz in your house on Pesach, and you find chametz, and it's Yontif, or it's Shabbos, it's Muktzah, but you don't want to come to eat it. So kofeh olav asakli, you turn a dish over, right, a bowl, and cover it with a bowl. You don't move it, you cover it. The word lichpos means to cover over something. A kippah covers your head, right? A dome covers the building. All of those words, kofeh, means to cover something over. So kfiyas hatov does not mean to be ungrateful. It means to cover over the good and not recognize it. You don't have to be ungrateful. Just you don't recognize that there's any good. There's a Rashi that seems to say that clearly. Rashi says that you should not make yourselves look poor in the eyes of the nations of the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam blessed you in the Midbar with all good things, and therefore, when you ask for water and bread from the Goyim, who you're going to go through their lands, when they went through Edom. They tried to ask Edom for food and water, or Moav, right? Don't ask for it like beggars, but offer to pay. This is what the Torah says. Why? Shaloch lichpos esatov, don't hide the good that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you. You are not beggars. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the means to buy these things. If you're going to ask for it like beggars, you're going to be covering over the good that God gave to you, and you're going to look like, what's it called, make a chilul Hashem. You represent God, and God can't even give you enough money to buy food and water from the goyim. You have to beg for it for free. Pay for it. You can afford it. Don't make yourself look like beggars, because that is a chilul Hashem, because it appears like the Ribbono Shel Olam can't provide for you. That's in that context, Rashi says, Shelo tichpu esatov. Doesn't mean don't be ungrateful. Don't cover it over. recognize it. Hakaras HaTov is recognizing good. Kfiyas HaTov means you don't recognize the good. So if that's the case, then how do you recognize good? Okay, you have to start with the first level. Not necessarily being thankful for it, but recognizing it. Just recognize it's good. So how do you do that? So the first thing is to have the right hashkafa on life. And that hashkafa is the following. What is the wrong hashkafa? The wrong hashkafa is everything is coming to me. I am guaranteed in this world all good. And therefore, if I don't get what I think is magiali, I have a right to complain. Okay? I am entitled. That's this generation for sure. Right? People feel entitled. Right? It's coming to me. And if I don't get what I think is coming to me, I complain. And everything's coming to me. Remember once I was going for a shir in Ranana. They were having elections, city elections. And there was a candidate, I don't remember who it was, big gigantic billboard, and it said, vote for so-and-so in Hebrew. Ki magia lecha. Now, I don't know if that was put up by his opponents or by him. But they said, like, you know, you deserve, right, to have this guy. It's coming to you. That's what people feel, like, you know, magia li. And if you feel magia li, then you never recognize anything's good. All you recognize is when things are missing, because you expect 100% satisfaction. And if you don't get 100% satisfaction, you complain. And that is the way the world is for the most part. People think they're born with like a little guarantee connected to their big toe when they're born that says, right, you are guaranteed 100% satisfaction in this world. If not, you have a right to complain to customer service or whatever that you didn't get what's coming to you. The Medrash says that a person should have the opposite hashkafa in this world. The opposite feeling. Ma'is onein adam chai, says an Eicha. What can a person complain if he's alive? Nobody promised you anything more than life. Even life's a present. If you're alive, be happy. You're missing 99%. You only have 1%. Be happy with the 1%. Who said you were? Who said that's magia lecha 99%? Magia lecha zero. You got 1%. Be happy with it. But you want to complain, says the Medrash? There's what to complain about in this world. Gevra al-Khatov, complain about the sins you do. That you don't live up to your part, even for the life that you were given. Rashi says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Makos b'makom misa. That really every time a person does an aveira, he should die. God gave us life on condition. The condition is, you do what I told you. You don't do what I told you, you forfeit your life. So really, a person should die, and that's what by Goyim, it's like that. They have 7 mitzvahs, they're over on any of the mitzvahs, they forfeit their life. But by us, the Rebbeim had Rachmanis. He gave us so many mitzvahs, so he said, look, what's it called? I'm not going to make you forfeit your life for every mitzvah that you don't do, even though that's really what should happen. But I'll give you Malkus b'makom misa. And you'll weaken yourself, you get beaten up, and it's like a partial death. I'll consider that like you were killed. But that's really how a person should feel. I was given life on condition. I don't fulfill the condition. I don't deserve my life. So you want to complain about something? Complain about the fact that you're not living up to your part of the condition. That's what to complain about. But to complain that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not giving you more than you think you deserve, who said you deserve anything? Right? So whatever you have is hakol revach. Right? It's all benefits, all profit. That's the hashkafa the person has to have. And we always used to say that that is the lesson of Tu B'Av. Right? Chazal made Tu B'Av a Yontif. Now one of the major reasons, the Gemara says, there's many reasons, but the major reason the Gemara says is that that's the day that they buried Haruge Beitar. What happened? The hundreds of thousands of Jews, men, women, children, were slaughtered in Beitar by the Romans. It was the last stand of Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba's last stand was in Beitar. There were hopes that, you know, he was going to be Mashiach and they would build the Beis HaMikdash. They were even minting coins already. They had their independence back for 2.5 years. And their stronghold was in Beitar. And the Romans destroyed the city, they killed Bar Kokhba, and they killed every man, woman, and child, and the Gemara says there were hundreds of thousands of people there. And they wanted to make a point of it, and they didn't let the bodies be buried. For something like, I think 18 months it says. Somewhere I saw 3 years, but somebody told me recently 18 months. 18 months, they didn't let the bodies be buried. And they left them open to the elements. And it says that there was so much bloodshed there that the goyim around fertilized their vineyards with the blood of these people, right, I think for 3 years after that. That's where I got the 3 years from. In any case, so terrible tragedy, terrible tragedy. Then, 3 years later, a year and a half later, whenever it was, on Tu B'Av, right, this happened on Tisha B'Av. One of the things that happened on Tisha B'Av, about 50, 60 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. 3 years later, on Tu B'Av, a miracle happened. The miracle was that they were able to get to the bodies and bury them. And when they got to the bodies, they found that they hadn't decomposed in all that time, being open to the elements for years. Right? Hot, cold, rainy. The bodies were as if they had just died. It was a tremendous miracle. So they made a bracha that day, Hatova Metiv. Hatova Metiv is an addition to benching. Till that time, benching ended with Bonei Verachim with Yerushalayim. That's what we say Amen there. Those are the end of the three brachas in the Torah. The next bracha, Hatov, Ametiv, Lakol, that bracha was added by Haruge Beitar. It was in memory of Haruge Beitar, that bracha. Okay? Whenever you bench, you remember Haruge Beitar, Hatov, Ametiv. And the Hatov was that they were able to be buried, the Hametiv that they didn't decompose. That was the bracha they made. They also, what's it called, made a tremendous yontif that day. That Chazal say, Lo hayu yomim tovim liYisrael kechamishasur ba'avu kiyom HaKippurim. There were no greater yomim tovim, right, than Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av, and that's a day that girls used to go out and make shiduchim on Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. It's a day for marriages. Now, if I would have been there, I surely wouldn't have made this into a yontif. I mean, what was the great yontif? That they were able to bury people and the bodies didn't decompose. The people didn't come up L'tchiasa. If the people got up L'tchiasa Mesim, I would have made a big yontif. People were dead. They remained dead. So they were able to bury them. Big deal. I mean, it's a nice thing, right? And it mitigates the tzara. But hundreds of thousands of people still were dead. So I would have made a fast day, because the day that you reinter somebody, right? And you have a reinterment, what's it called, move a body, and you rebury them, right? Pinui kever. You move a kever, right, bring people to Eretz Yisrael. So the day that they rebury the body is a day of Avelis. You have to, like, sit shiva for a few seconds that day. They croving. So it's more a mourning, reburying somebody. So burying for the first day should have been a Yom Tzom. They should have made, like, a fast day. To again bemoan the tragedy these poor people were killed. But they should have said, well, you can eat 5 minutes early because Lamaisa didn't decompose and were able to bury them. There's some redeeming good over here. So we won't make a full day fast day. We'll make a fast day with 10 minutes before Shkia you can eat. That's what I would have done. Chazal made a tremendous yontif. And the girls go out and dance and they made a new bruch in benching. Why? What's the yontif? So one idea we've said in the past is that Chazal wanted to get us ready for Galus. This was the final nail in the coffin of Galus, and we haven't emerged from that Galus yet. And Chazal knew that Rabbi Akiva was hoping that Bar Kokhba would be Mashiach and the Galus would end very quickly, and it didn't happen. Pretty close to the 50, 60 years, like Bava, well, 70 years, that's what this would be. And it wasn't true. Rabbi Akiva was hoping that Od Ma'at, Mashiach's going to come, and the other Tanoim told him that grass will grow on your grave before Mashiach comes. That's what they told him, why they weren't. But in any case, that's what they said to Rabbi Akiva. You're making a big mistake. This is not, Bar Kokhba is not Mashiach. This is not... So they were hoping, and they realized that this is it. Now it's going to start a long tkufa of galus. And if people are not educated to recognize the smallest benefits, the smallest good, then people are going to be really frustrated and miserable and depressed for the next 2,000 years. Because there's not going to be too many great things that are going to happen during to Klal Yisrael during galus. If you don't recognize the little good, you're not going to recognize anything. So they made a big deal about this, right? 99% was still bad. Hundreds of thousands of people were dead. They weren't able to be buried for 3 years, 18, whatever it was. Okay, it's a little good. They're able to be buried, and the bodies didn't decompose. So we're going to make a yontif for the good and ignore the other part to let people know that they have to have that hashkafa. Be happy for what you have. Don't look at the half a glass that's empty. Look at the half a glass that's full. Nobody promised you anything. And if there's some good, be makir tova for that. And if you don't have that, then you can never have a happy marriage. Because if you ever think that your spouse is going to satisfy all your needs, 100%, except for my wife, of course, but otherwise, right, under other circumstances, right, nobody can satisfy everybody, any spouse can never satisfy another person 100%. There's always chesronos, there's always positive things, negative things. So if you get married and you're expecting 100% satisfaction, right, then you're going to quickly want your money back. Right? And that's why, unfortunately, there are so many divorces today. Because people, again, feel entitled. And if I don't get what I think is coming to me, and I think everything's coming to me, then forget it. Then I want out. And that's what happens to me. But if you have the feeling, I don't expect anything. And whatever good I have, I appreciate, then you'll be a very happy person. On both sides. So that's the day they make shidduchim. Same thing goes with a meal. Right? Most of us, right, function that usually a woman, you know, slaves over a meal. Serves a nice meal, and what do you hear from the kids and the husband? Hey, it's too salty. Not salty enough. How come we don't have this? How come we don't have that? Right? How come you didn't make this? Always complaining about what's not there or what's not up to par instead of being happy that you have something to eat. Right? I'm happy that there's something on the table to eat. Right? Otherwise, people take it for granted that, you know, this is coming to me or whatever. So we normally complain about what's not there and what's not up to par instead of being happy for what is there. So they made a bracha in benching every time you eat. Remember Haruge Beitar and don't complain about what wasn't there. Be happy that you had something to eat. Be makir tova, both to the person who made the food and to the Rabbanu Shlom that enabled you to have the, whatever you have. Don't complain about what's missing. Be happy with what you have. Right? And sometimes that's the worst kind of thing. People just take for granted that, you know, they don't have not mocker, they don't recognize that any good was done for them. I read, I think it was Reader's Digest years ago, that a woman served her family some kind of new dish which they never saw before, never ate before. And somebody said, what is it? She said, dog food. They all spit it out, you know, fast or whatever. She says, the first reaction I've had to any meal since I've been serving is family. Right? So sometimes you have to do drastic things. I don't suggest that you do that. Unless the dog food has a hechsher, and you can look for the K9 as the hechsher. But that's the thing. People don't even react, because if they have nothing to complain about, they just take it in their stride. That's taken for granted. Nobody considers that anything good is happening to them. So the first yisod is be happy for whatever you have and recognize every little good. That explains when it doesn't rain, yeah, that's Siris Geshamim, and it starts to rain, you say a special tefillah. Why we don't say that tefillah, I'm not 100% sure. I did see something that may explain it. Why don't we make taniyos like they used to in the time of the Beis Hamikdash for Tzuris Geshamim? Right, there was a certain set seder, 3 taniyos, another 3, and then 7, and so on. Why don't we do that today? Where does it say that? It doesn't apply today. So I saw somebody says the reason we don't do it, I don't remember who now, one of the poskim, says that because today there are artificial ways of getting water, you can import drinking water from Turkey or whatever, and we are not as dependent on rain as used to be, it's not the same kind of tzara. And therefore, we don't make those taniyos or whatever. Since there are other means of supplying water where it's not mamish life and death just because it doesn't rain. People aren't dying in the streets because it was an atziras geshamim, because you can buy bottled water or whatever, right, from imported from somewhere else or whatever, which they couldn't do before. So that's one of the reasons why. So in any case, it could be that maybe that's the reason we don't say the tefillah either. Could be. But what is in that tefillah? It says, I'll call tipa v'tipa. We're not just thankful because it poured. We're thankful for every drop of water. If it would have been one drop, then if I didn't have anything and I have one drop, that's also something. So I'm going to complain that I don't have a lot more drops? One drop I have. Right? Rav Moshe Feinstein said, if a person wins a lottery and he wins $1 million, he has to not be thankful for winning $1 million. He has to be thankful 1 million times for every dollar or for every penny. Because let's say he wouldn't have won $1 million, he would have won $1. Wouldn't have been happy? Right? So the fact that he won $1 million should not overshadow the one that he would have been happy for if he won $1 also. He would have been less happy, right, than if he won $1 million. But he would have been happy. So why should that the million overshadow the happiness of the $1? So you have to be happy for every little good. Yeah. And that's
The problem with this, the way the Rebbe is presenting it, is that there are some times that something it does magia to a person. Simply, if someone makes a deal and the other person doesn't follow through, it's a person's responsibility. You're supposed to get something, and you're supposed to try to get it. There is such a concept that something is coming to a person. So just saying that person has to realize that he's going to be happy whatever happens is not enough. The person has to realize that you know what's coming to him or what's not coming to him.
I know, but when it comes to right something that you have and you can make a deal with what you know with another person is one thing, but with the Rabbanu Shalom you don't make any deals. The Rabbanu Shalom gave you life, right? He didn't make any deals with you or promise you anything more than that. If he gives it to you, he's giving it to you bechasta. So it's not even, and even if you do all the mitzvahs in the world, right? But you don't deserve now more because the Russian gave you life. He deserves that you do what he wants you to do. Otherwise, take away your life. So there's really no side of the deal that's coming to you, right? It's all Chesed Hashem. What's coming to you when it comes to the Rabbanu Shalom, Makir Tova to the Rabbanu Shalom, for sure it's totally a chesed from the Rabbanu Shalom. There's no way you could say that, well, I have a claim to this and the Rabbanu Shalom has to do this for me. Why?
So it depends how what you're talking about and about how a person thinks. Use an example of
that. It depends on person thinks, but
use an example that I gave before, like in marriage. Let's say somebody had an idea that expecting a spouse by marrying him, the spouse
is a great cook, right?
Expected to be something, and right. It didn't turn out that way.
So right. He marries some Chinese lady that he expects to get Chinese food every. Every day, and she doesn't know how to cook. Right. Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right, so in that person's mind, the person is supposed to be delivering and is not. So the person how a person is scuffed, not what's supposed to be coming to him, what's not. So he has to realize that's the...
Yeah, and Hanan, that person, again, we're talking here of getting the right outlook. And if you have the wrong outlook, I'm doing this because I expect a return. So then maybe that's the wrong outlook. That's not what you're right. Because how can you expect a return? How can you expect anybody to do anything? Maybe they're not capable of doing, or maybe the Rabbanu Shalom won't let them do it. So you have to go into a situation where you don't expect anything, since you can't say you really deserve it, right? And maybe the Rabbanu Shalom won't let it happen, and you realize that the Rabbanu Shalom is in control, whether that Chinese lady is going to be able to cook or not. Maybe she won't have any vegetables. Maybe there won't be any vegetables growing or whatever. So when you look at the bigger picture, You have to come to that hashkafa that there's no guarantees in this world. And whatever you have, be thankful for. So it applies even deals you made with people or whatever, but who said that the Rav Hashanah let them hold up the deal? So if they do or whatever, it's also a chesed. We're looking now at a much bigger hashkafa than just for that specific thing. And if that bigger hashkafa applies to everything that happens in this world, whether it's through people or directly from the Rav Hashanah. Okay, we'll continue this in this session.